They shouted healing. Hallelujah. See, we got some smart people around here. I was in my office earlier today, and I planned on going a different direction, and this just dropped in my heart. It was as I was meditating on the Word and just dropped in my heart to minister on this tonight. And so let's just obey God. Hallelujah. John chapter 5 in verse 1. Father, help us tonight. Lord, I can't of my own self do anything to help really anybody. Father, I've proven that in my life before you. But Father, I thank you for the anointing and for the gift that is on my life, Lord, and that's just because of you. If there is anything good there, it's because of you. And Lord, we need that to be in operation tonight. And so, Lord, as I open my mouth, I thank you. You'll make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. And I will speak words in season, Father, and will be exactly what we need tonight. Father, words from heaven. And I'll speak as the oracles of God, with boldness, with utterance. And Father, I thank you that bullseyes will be hit in every single hearer's heart tonight, whether they're in this place listening by live stream or in the future on an archive, Father. I thank you that what we need to hear tonight, we're going to hear. And so tonight's our help. And Father, people came out on a stormy Wednesday night when no doubt it's easier just to stay home. No doubt it's there's things that need to be done, busy lives. But Father, people put you first. And Lord, you don't look upon that lightly. And so Father, as we put you first tonight, Lord, we thank you that we come, we brought our supply of faith and hunger and to worship you and our financial supply, but now it's time to be fed. And so, Father, we thank you that you'll do your part and feed us tonight and help us. We give you the glory and you the praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. John chapter 5, in verse 1. In John chapter 5, in verse 1, it says, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now at Jerusalem by the sheep market, there's a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then was first after the troubling of the water stepped in and was made whole of whatever disease he had. And there was a certain man there, which, so up to this point, just stop real quick there, up until that point, what happens is there's a miracle service every certain season. And what happens is an angel comes down and stirs up the water, and whoever the sick folk that are laying there, they're waiting. I mean, they're anticipating. They're waiting for their miracle. They're waiting for their moment. And the only way they could get it is if they could be the first in the pool. But if they'd be the first in the pool, then healing would come. That's what we would call a gift of the Spirit. Of gifts of healings, praise God, working of miracles, things like that. And so that's not something they could just stick their foot in and trouble up the water and dive in. They had to wait for God to move. And so that says in verse 5, there's a certain man which had an infirmity, 38 years. Now the Bible doesn't tell us this that I know of, but I wonder how many of those 38 years he waited there and waited there. And waited there to be able to get into the pool. Well, he couldn't get in by himself, so for someone to throw him in, to push him in, do something. How desperate he must have been after 38 years, which had an infirmity. Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had now been a long time in that case. Well, he said he saw him and he knew it. Well, how did he know? By word of knowledge. That's a gift of spirit. What's a word of knowledge? When you supernaturally know something about somebody's present or past that you wouldn't have otherwise known unless God revealed it to you. Well, it didn't say Jesus had a conversation. It said Jesus looked and saw, and he knew instantly that there was a man that was in that case for a long time. He said to him, will you be made whole? Basically, do you want to be made whole? The impotent man answered and said, sir, I don't have a man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. See, he knew how it worked. You got to be the first in when it happens. There's no warning sign. We don't know when it's going to happen, but there's a certain season. The angel's coming down. He said, I don't have anybody. Can you imagine the hope and expectation and then the despair once the troubling was over and someone else got it? And there he goes again, just without his healing. He says, I have no one to put me in the water, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. So obviously he can get there somehow trying to get in, but someone's beating him there. He's not able to get in. Jesus said unto him, rise up, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on that day, same day, was the Sabbath. Now, what I want to point out about this and where we're going tonight is this was a miracle service where it was what we would call gifts of the Spirit were in operation. And the thing about the gifts of the Spirit that we must understand and realize is that when I think of gifts, I immediately think of Christmas. I can't remember ever having to really earn Christmas presents from my parents. You know, I mean, you might get threatened not to get anything if you weren't good, but I always got something, you know, and I was threatened a lot probably. But anyways, I just, because it was Christmas and they loved me and I was their child, you know, it was just like waking up and there's the presents, you know, it was just given to you. Well, that's the same way it is with a gift of the Spirit. When gifts of the Spirit are in operation, the receiver doesn't have to do anything about it. Brother Hagin told a story one time. Of course, most of what I heard, I've only heard Brother Hagin in person one time, so the most of what I heard from Brother Hagin has been reading about Brother Hagin, listening to the many things I have on my phone and computer of him, or hearing Pastor Michael or some of these other ministers tell stories. But they tell a story about Brother Hagin. I heard him preaching one time, how he's talking about how he recognized that the gifts of Spirit were just as God wills. You know, the Bible tells us that they're as the Spirit wills. That means you can't put it on, you can't put it off. I had somebody this week tell me that they operate in the gift of the Spirit of discerning of spirits. That's the gift God gave them. And I had everything I could to say, you don't have that gift. Because if you had that gift, you could just see Jesus anytime you wanted to, wherever he was. You could see the angels in here right now. You could hopefully see no devils in here. We need to get a devil wand for Jeff to hold when you come in. It's scan you up and down. See if you got. We'll see if they make those. And hopefully none of them are in here, but if you had that gift, you could just do that anytime. But the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 12 that it's as the Spirit wills. And so Brother Hagin said, man, I saw this in action when a lady, he called something up, something specific. I can't remember the exact story what it was. Laid hands on her, and the thing instantly went away, and out of her mouth came the words, I can't believe that happened. Showing it wasn't her faith. Basically, she said, I've never thought in a million years that would happen to me. And he thought, well, that's a gift of the Spirit right there. Didn't have to do anything to earn it. When we say earn it, what are we talking about? Faith. And we've often said this, that faith is kind of like, well, there's many things titled faith is the currency of heaven, you know, or the what heaven uses to purchase things in heaven, you know, healing and things. You use that in a light way, you know, you don't have to buy anything from God. Don't misunderstand me. But faith is what we use to get what we need, praise God, is what I'm trying to say. And so in this service here, this had nothing to do with anybody's faith. It's just when God chose to do it and whoever could get in. And, you know, the thing about that's great. We like gifts of the Spirit. But there's a better way for Christians to get healed and to maintain their healing. Because let me tell you what I mean why it's better. Because if we can't turn on and off the gifts of the Spirit, if we're going to rely on the gifts of the Spirit to get our healing and then maintain our healing, then we're going to have to be like the man at the side of the pool that's waiting for the angel to come and trouble the water. And we don't know when that's going to be. We don't know when God's going to operate in the gift of the Spirit. We don't know. Maybe it's something we'll learn more when we get to heaven. I know this. I know our hunger. We see the word that when we hunger and thirst and crave and desire and cry out for these things, they will manifest more. But even then, it doesn't mean we're going to have them every service or every situation for everybody that's going through to all of a sudden have a gift of the Spirit. We just don't know. And so why I say there's a better way. That's a great way. That's a good way, praise God. But there's a better way, because the better way that we're going to talk about tonight doesn't make you have to wait for the angel to come down and trouble the water. Praise God. And many people in the body of Christ, and this is not just me throwing a blanket statement over, are waiting for that type of thing to happen in their life. You know, we have anointed men. I mean, we're so blessed to be in the camp that we're in because we're around people that have real life anointings on their life. I mean, they have legit anointings. And so when they come around, you know, and if they don't have a healing on or something, I've talked to people who are discouraged, you know, or if their condition didn't get called out, they walk out discouraged. Well, why is that? It's because they're waiting for the gifts of the Spirit. And then when that doesn't happen, they walk away sad and disappointed. And or people are waiting for gifts of the Spirit or an anointed minister, or they're waiting for God to swoop in. That's what we've been using that term in our series on Sunday about authority, that we find in the Word that God doesn't just swoop in. I was talking with a couple this week that they're not part of this church. Love the Lord. They're on their way to heaven. And they've been in a certain condition, in a certain situation for years and years. And I finally, because they had a lot of wrong thinking, I sit at the dinner table with them, and I finally said to them, I said, isn't it amazing? You're like this all these years. God hasn't swooped in and changed anything. I was trying to wake them up because their wrong thinking was thinking, where are you? What are you going to do? And I said, isn't it amazing? You're His child. He loves you so much, gave Jesus for you, yet He didn't come in and do anything. And I told him, I said, He'll let you stay this way for the rest of your life. And that's not me being harsh or trying to be mean. It's just the truth. And a lot of people, hopefully none of us in here, are just waiting and waiting and waiting when we don't have to wait and wait and wait. This was an interesting encounter with Jesus here. This was a gift of the Spirit. But if you look at Jesus' ministry, most of the people that received from Him, it was according to their faith. And without taking time to really look in the Word, just if you point out a few things, what about the woman with the issue of blood? 12 years she had it. Jesus is in her hometown. He's not going to her door, a weak woman's door, who she can't come out in public legally. It's hard for her to press through the crowd that's around her because she's been sick for 12 years. Blood condition. Spent all she had. She's desperate. Jesus didn't chase her down. And in fact, when she's pressing through the crowd, He didn't say, hey, everybody, get out of her way. No, He just kept going. She had to track Him down. She had to get the power out of Him. The power wasn't going towards her. She had to suck the power out. Well, it's the same way with blind Bartimaeus in Mark 10. Jesus walking right by him. Son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't stop. He just kept going. Why? Because this is what you have to understand about Christ. Is Jesus couldn't just do whatever He wanted on planet Earth. Notice He didn't do one miracle. We talked about this a little bit on Sunday, I believe. One miracle till after He was anointed with the Holy Ghost. And so He can't just track down the woman with the issue of blood and make it happen unless God does something like He did here in John 5. Jesus had to operate, because why? What did He do? He stripped Himself or emptied Himself or gave up all the deity of heaven to become a man. So He could only operate as the Holy Ghost would give Him power to do. And we'll see this in a second. In Mark 6, we know this. But Jesus couldn't just do anything. And so blind Bartimaeus, would Jesus have wanted to heal blind Bartimaeus? Absolutely. When He hears a blind man's cry, there's no doubt Jesus would say, if Jesus would be asked, Jesus, do you want the man to remain blind or do you want the man to stay healed? Jesus would say, I want the man healed. We know it's God's will for everybody to be healed. But He couldn't go over to the man and just say, be healed in the name of Jesus, unless God would initiate a gift of the Spirit, which would be as God wills. He was a man on earth now, so He has to rely on His Father. Or the person had the faith for it. Same way with the woman whose daughter was grievously vexed to the devil. Why didn't Jesus just deal with that devil? No, He had to get her faith up. Now, if there would have been a gift of the Spirit, He could have dealt with it. But there, most cases, there isn't. And so we need to learn, because it'll help you, that we don't have to wait for our healing. It belongs to us, praise God. And there's a better way to receive it, and that's to receive it by faith, praise God. Mark chapter 6, let's go there real quick. I'm going to help you with that tonight. Mark chapter 6. You know, I wish, but I'm just telling you the truth. I don't have any powers in my hands. I don't have any power. I don't have any healing ability. I don't have any special anointing that's going to, even with healing anointings, without a gift of the Spirit, there still needs to be faith with the other person. Still does. And so because of that, praise God, We got to figure out a way to get this, because if we're going to sit around and say, I'm going to wait for Pastor Mike to call that out, well, that might never. I don't know. It's up to him. But look what it says in Mark chapter 6, where it says, let's drop down to verse 5. It says, and he could there do no mighty work, except lay his hands upon a few sick folk and heal them. Well, we know he's a mighty work doer, because in Mark chapter 5, the chapter before, he did two mighty works. The woman with the issue of blood and Jairus' daughter. But the woman with the issue of blood and Jairus' daughter were both what? Healed because of their faith. He told the woman with the issue of blood, daughter, your faith made you whole. And what did he tell Jairus's? Jairus, when they came to Jairus and said, don't trouble the master any further, she's dead. Jesus said, be not afraid, only believe. He said, don't. If Jesus didn't need their faith, he'd have said, yeah, you can say anything you want. I'm just going to go take care of this. But he said, no, I need your faith to heal your daughter. Be not afraid, only believe. There's two cases there that tell us he couldn't do whatever he wanted, that he needed their faith on it, that it wasn't a gift of the Spirit in operation. And with gifts of the Spirit, what I want to say is, with those cases, we can receive these things by faith. And faith is a better way. Why? Faith is all the time. You don't have to wait for a minister. You don't have to wait for your pastor. You don't have to wait for a gift of the Spirit. You don't have to wait for a healing line. Faith is available to you all the time. I remember hearing this quote from John G. Lake. Now, I've talked a little bit about John G. Lake, but remember when John G. Lake was ministering, and he had ministry in Africa, he had ministry over in Seattle, and back when he was in the height of his ministry, the government recorded Seattle, Washington as being the healthiest city in America. Amen. It's recorded. John G. Lake had over 100,000 confirmed doctor signing off on medical healings. That's pretty good. Started many churches, many signs, wonders, and miracles. And he was talking about, you know, because with gifts of the Spirit, what we find a lot of times is the healing is instantaneous. Yeah. Like the time when I was a youth group leader at Jamestown, I remember, and I was driving around during the day, and all of a sudden, before youth group, I saw myself jamming my fingers in somebody's ear, pulling them out and shouting, be healed in Jesus' name. Well, I got in service that night, and remember the story, that came up as I was given the salvation call to do that. Well, there was only one. Most of the faithful, loyal kids were at a school function that night. And there was one girl there that was brand new, and I already knew all the other kids in the youth group didn't have a hearing problem, because I'll tell you what, you knew every problem every kid had. Kids tell you everything. You knew it all. You did. You knew it all. And so this new girl, I thought, well, if I call this hearing thing out, I know none of these kids have a hearing problem, and I know this girl's not going to come up. She's brand new. And I saw what I'm supposed to do, so stick my fingers in a brand new girl's ear. She ain't going to want that, a teenager. And so I said, I'm not doing that, Lord. I'm not doing that. Well, the burden got heavier and heavier as I got towards the end of the salvation call. And I just said, well, I know how this is going to feel. I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. And I'm not going to deal with that. So I said, okay. So what I saw, I said, I saw my spirit driving around. It just dropped there like a picture. I said, I saw someone needs healing in their ears. Well, I was shocked. Talk about not being in faith. I mean, God knew what he was talking about. The girl got up and came forward. And I explained to her. I said, this is what I saw myself doing. I said, I'm supposed to stick these fingers. You know, in youth group, you can get these fingers. They're supposed to go in your ears. I said, is that okay if I do that? She said, yeah. And so I did. Being healed in the name of Jesus. She starts weeping and crying. I thought I punctured eardrums or something, because she was crying. It scared me, you know. She drops to her knees. I'm healed. So it was instantaneous. It was instantaneous. Gift of healings. The reason I say that is because we like those things. Those are fun and exciting. But John G. Lake, someone that was a proficient master in the area of healing, said this. He said, I believe that instant healings are a curse to the body of Christ. That's what he said. He said, I believe they're a curse to the body of Christ because, he said, when somebody gets healed instantaneously, they're not immune from the devil coming to put it back on them. And remember when Jesus healed this guy in John chapter 5, eventually he says to him, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So what can happen when somebody gets healed is if they don't do the right thing to maintain Remember when Jesus said to the woman with the issue of blood, he said, "Daughter, your faith made you whole, but to keep this healing, you must go in peace." Yeah. Can't open the door to anything. It's got to be peace. And so what happens, John G. Lake was saying, is I believe instant healings are a curse, because when somebody gets instantaneously healed, the devil's going to come back around and try to put it back on them, and it's going to be put back on worse. And see, they never knew how to acquire their healing. Most people, anyways, well, not all. Some people that get it instantaneously, they're faith people, they know how to maintain and things. But most people, see, this is what you have to understand. Brother Hagin said this, that the gifts of the Spirit were not meant for the church. They were meant for the world to be signs and wonders to pull them into the church. Doesn't mean we haven't seen a measure, but the gifts of the spirits, the gifts of healings, working of miracles, signs, wonders, miracles, all those things were meant to be signs confirming that Jesus is legit. What's for us is faith. And see, we have a lot of people waiting around for the gifts of the Spirit or some anointing, or when Pastor Mike lays hands on them or so-and-so lays hands on them, they think, okay, because they did this, well, there's a lot more to it. And so John G. Lake was saying instant healings are a curse because they'll come back on them, and they didn't ever know how to get it in the first place. They didn't know how to obtain it and how to acquire it. So we can receive it by faith. And so here in Mark chapter 6 and verse 5, it says he could do not a mighty work there except lays hands on a few sick folk. That means there's more of them there. And healed them, so a few people were on board, but not the whole. And so what did he do in Mark chapter 6, verse 6? He said, and he marveled because of their unbelief. But this is what I want you to see. He went around about the villages teaching. The cure to their unbelief was teaching the word. And I'm going to get to something here at the end to tell us how we can obtain and then maintain our healing tonight here from this point forward. Mark chapter 4 and verse 23. Mark chapter 4 and verse 23. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 4, verse Matthew, not Mark. Mark. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. So he saw some people that did not have, obviously said there were in unbelief. Well, what did I tell you? The majority of people in Jesus' ministry that got anything from him got it by faith. So if they didn't have faith, they didn't get anything. So what was the cure to their unbelief? He said, I'm going to go teach. They're unbelieving. I need to get them believing. How am I going to get them believing? I'm going to teach. Well, we know what he's teaching. He's teaching the word. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, and Jesus went about all of Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What's he doing? Teaching and preaching. And look at what was the result. And healing. Amen. The and healing, all manner of sickness and all manner of disease, did not precede the teaching and the preaching. The teaching and the preaching led to the healing of the sickness and the diseases. Same what he did in Mark 6. He said, they're not ready. Got to go back to teaching them. Mark 4, he says, if I want to have healing ministry and a miracle, signs, and wonders ministry concerning healing, I got to teach and preach. Go to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching. See, if we're not careful, we'll think that all that Jesus did in his ministry were signs, wonders, and miracles. He had this great anointing on his life to go around and just put his hands on people with the magic touch and heal them and heal them and heal them. That only happened when a gift of the Spirit was present. But the majority of cases you read through the Bible, the majority of times Jesus did anything, it was attributed to their faith. And now we see why people had faith. Because what was he doing? He's going around the cities and villages teaching and preaching, and then came the healing, every disease and every sickness. That's what he's doing most of the time. Why? Because what's going to precede healing? The teaching and preaching of the word. Or if you're a sheep, you could say it this way. What's going to precede healing in my life is the hearing and the receiving of the word. Amen. Praise God. So our faith matters. Now we know by Romans 10 and verse 17 that faith comes by the hearing of God's word. Well, Jesus knew that principle. So he knew that if I go around the villages teaching and preaching, people are hearing the word on healing. And so when they're healing it, their faith is rising up, making them eligible candidates to receive what he had. Praise God. There's no doubt he was anointed. He was, but he needed their faith. Now, talking about people's faith and on the along the lines of this, the Lord revealed something to me that I had wondered for a while, just out of curiosity. You know, the Lord will tell you things if you want to know. And when the Lord told me to go to Rhema, of course, you know the story. I was lost in life, you know, and I got saved January 10th of 2002 in a hunting cabin in Youngsville, Pennsylvania. And then my life just kind of stayed bad, you know. I didn't know anything about God. I was kind of unsubmitted. You know, I was unsubmitted because I didn't want to go to China or Africa. I thought for sure that's where he's going to send me. So I said, I'm not selling out. I'll take heaven. I'll take the fire insurance. But that's all I want. I just want the fire insurance. I don't want to go to China and Africa. And so, but life was hell on earth for a while as a Christian. And so I just got mad and threw my hands up in desperation. Said, Lord, I'll go. I'll go to China or Africa. Well, it was like a week or two later in Pastor Michael's service back when it was called Bible Christian Fellowship. I heard the audible voice of God. It's the only time I've ever heard it. Now, I think it was God, if it was an angel or Jesus or whoever it was, but it was a voice out loud. And I looked up and Pastor Michael never missed a beat and nobody else picked their head up. And you know, if somebody shouts out during a salvation call, it's going to interrupt the service. Nothing was interrupted except I was interrupted. And that voice said, go to Rhema. You know, I finally sold out to God. See, there's something about being willing and obedient. A lot of people just aren't willing and so they don't eat the good of the land. You got to get willing. So I got willing and found out what to do, praise God. When I was getting ready to go to Rhema, my dad and I would work out at a church. Pay attention, kids. I don't want to miss this stuff. Praise God. We have good kids in this church, don't we? Amen. We hold our kids to high standards around here. Praise God. Be a blessing to your mom. Be a blessing to your dad. Be a blessing in service. Praise God. Lord will bless you for it. Jesus loves little kids. Loves little kids. Praise God. And so I was going to Rhema, and my dad and I were working out at a gym that was in a church. And the pastor there got wind that I was going to Rhema, and he knew about Rhema. And he had seen me with their youth. They had a basketball court and stuff, and they had seen me with their youth, and he knew I felt called to the ministry. I kind of made friends with him. And they needed a youth leader, and he started talking to me one day and said, why are you going to Rhema? That's that school that believes in healing and prosperity. And I thought, you know, I've just been learning about this stuff. I thought, this stuff's in the Bible. What are you talking about? This is Bible stuff. And he said, you know, that's not of God. You know, he had other motives too. He wanted me to go to his school in upstate New York, and he promised me a salary, promised me a full-time job with benefits, promised to pay for it all, you know, which on the surface looked a lot better than driving all the way to Rhema in my 1990 Nissan with 200,000 miles, getting a job, having only money for the first month's rent, not knowing anybody. It just sounded better. But in my heart wouldn't let me do it, so I made the trek to Rhema. But anyways, he said to me something interesting. He said, that school's not of God. And I said, what do you mean? He said, they believe in that divine healing stuff. I thought, man, what I've been taught, what I've learned about, that's God. I said, why? I thought when you ask, see, a lot of times people won't give you scriptures. They just give you their opinions. Or they give you, see, a lot of people judge God and the word by circumstances or what they're going through, and they just assume that that's God. Well, that's what he did. He said, you know, healing's not of God. I said, how can that be? I thought he was going to give me a list of verses. He said, Sister so-and-so, who's the most faithful person in my church, the most faithful person in my church, and Sister so-and-so who loved God, you know, she'd do anything for the church, just do anything for the Lord. She was, she had cancer and ended up dying of it. And she asked God, Mike, at that time, you know, I'm not Pastor Mike, asked God, Mike, for her healing, and he didn't heal her. And she wanted to be healed. And he said, if there's anybody that wants, that would be qualified for healing, it'd be her. Well, I didn't know this back then, but I know it now. Crying during worship songs, serving in the nursery, that's good. Being moved during worship is good. Being faithful to your pastor and faithful to church. But I don't see them as being total qualifiers to receive divine healing. I'm not trying to be mean or... And so he said, if anybody, and I thought, I can't explain that. I don't know. Well, the Lord showed me. That's the first time I've ever revealed this publicly. Tonight's the first time ever. I've told this story many times, but I've never told what the Lord told me, because I always wondered, why didn't she get healed? This is what he said to me. He said, well, Pastor Mike, first of all, consider the source of the church that she went to. The church she went to had a pastor who didn't just not believe it, he taught against it. He said, so if the teaching and preaching precedes the healing, unless there's a gift of the Spirit, which they don't believe about that stuff there either, wouldn't know it if it hit them between the eyes. That's not being mean. Most people wouldn't know the Holy Ghost if it hit them between the eyes. That's just the truth. And if the preaching and the teaching precedes it, the Lord showed me that she's not being taught this stuff. In fact, it's even worse. She's being taught against it. So, yeah, she wanted it. And, yeah, she asked for it. But it's not about wanting and just asking. There has to be faith mixed in. No doubt. The Bible says in Mark chapter 5, many were thronging Jesus. What were they thronging him for? They probably had heard, this guy gets things done. And there's not, no doubt, there's more than just one lady in that crowd that needs healing, that needs deliverance. And they're reaching for him because they know, just like she knew, if I can just touch him, I'll get it. If I can touch it, I'll get it. If I can touch it, I'll get it. Well, everybody else was thinking the same thing. Touch him. But they were doing it out of faith, evidently. Because when her faith touched him, something different flowed out of him when she touched him. Well, it was faith. It was faith. And the Bible, it's interesting, says in Mark chapter 5, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind. She didn't start pressing till she first heard. Well, what'd she hear? She must have heard, there's a healer. There's a healer, and he heals. And he's got an anointing on his life, and healing's of God, and he's a representation of God. Her faith was growing. Amen. So, she didn't believe, that lady didn't believe for her healing. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody that gets sick, everybody that dies, it's because they're out of faith. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying this is what the Lord told me in that situation. That she's just not there. Didn't have faith for it. And it helped me, it blessed me. Go to John chapter 8 and verse 31. John chapter 8 and verse 31. So what I'm saying to you here tonight is if Jesus couldn't do it unless people had faith, and when people didn't have faith in Mark 6, Jesus said the remedy to their no faith is what? The Word. The Word. What preceded his healing and casting out devils and healing diseases ministry? The teaching and preaching of the Word. So to let the cat out of the bag, what I'm trying to tell you here tonight is you don't need to wait for an anointed minister. You don't need to wait for a gift of the Spirit. And this goes for anything. If you're sitting here thinking, man, I wonder how it works for finances, same way. I wonder how it works for depression, same way. It all works for the same. It's just I felt led to minister on healing tonight. My point is the Word can get you your healing. The Word alone is enough to get you your healing. Remember the guy over there just jumped up in my heart, the Word over there in Matthew chapter 8, the centurion. He said, just speak the Word only, and my servant will be healed. He not only had a revelation of authority, but he was saying something about the Word. He said, the Word's enough, Jesus. I'm here to tell you, the Word's enough for your healing. Praise God. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Then Jesus said to those that were Jews who believed on him, don't forget these words here, and I'll go back to them. If, that's a big if for people. If you continue in my Word, if you continue in my Word, then you are my disciples indeed, but that's not the end of the story, because what's that little punctuation thingy there called? Semicolon? That means it's not over, right? We got more. Thank you for all the smart people out there. I knew it was something. So what's a colon? They just look like two dots? Two dots? This is a semicolon. Semicolon, Janae. You know that. You're English. Semicolon. Amen. I'm learning something tonight. Praise God. I always wonder what they were. I don't know when to use them, but I know what it is now. But anyways, that means it's not over. If you continue in my Word, if you continue, then you are disciples indeed. And he said, the result of the continuation of the word will be you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. What's he saying? What's he saying? He's saying that the truth will make you free. The truth is enough for any bondage at all. Well, what's the truth he's talking about? If you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And when you know the truth will make you free. So what he's saying is that the truth has the ability to free you from anything. You don't need a guest minister. You don't need an anointed gift of the Spirit service, a stirring of the water service. You just need truth to be set free. You just need truth. But first of all, he says you must know the truth. You must know the truth. You must know the truth. Now, it can't be just head knowledge. It's got to be, or what we like to call the words, mental assent. It's got to be heart knowledge. Or what I would like to say this way, a revelation. I can't tell you when a revelation comes, just you know when the revelation comes. I remember when starting the church here in South Dayton on the storefront, the Spirit of God led me to quit the job, you know, and I didn't have a revelation of prosperity like I needed at the time for faith, because I took Pastor Michael out to the Mexican restaurant in Fredonia, and I thought maybe I could butter him up a little with some Mexican food, you know? But there's really no buttering that guy up. I mean, he's just going to follow the Holy Ghost. And no Mexican food's going to change. I mean, you guys know. No Mexican food's going to change him. And I said, Pastor, I'm starting the church under your vision. And I have a baby on the way, you know. Caleb was born in September of 2010. Or wait, no, you weren't. We started the church in September 2000. You were born in June of 2010. So we had the baby before the church started. And I don't know if you know, but they cost money. Has anybody found out that babies cost money? And they do. It's crazy. You're lucky I didn't know that, how much you cost. I pushed you back. I said, get back in there. Actually, when I saw him when he first came out, he was not a pretty-looking kid. I said, I don't want that one. I mean, he's a handsome young boy. Now, and I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you the truth. He looked like he was not of this world. All squished and color. I mean, it was crazy. I wanted him to go back and try. I'll take option number two. But no, I'm glad I got him. And anyways. And so, needed money, you know. And when we quit that job, $2,000 short of paying our bills. The Lord said you couldn't get a third shift job. He told me to stay home with Caleb, which I knew nothing about how to do. Told her to keep her job, and that put us $2,000 short every single month. $1,200 in bills that came in the mail, and then with groceries and gas and expenses for him, it averaged in 2 years about $2,000 short every single month. Well, I didn't have a revelation, so I went to the Mexican restaurant and give Pastor Michael the sad song, a sad story. I mean, I thought it was working, because he didn't tell me no that night. But the very next service he preached, I was in the front row in this church in the Lakeview building, called me up. And he was done preaching. He said, Pastor Mike, look at this. And he pointed and he just walked away. And I thought, this is going to be good. My pastor's got a word for me. And I look at the scripture he points to, and it's when Jesus told the disciples, when I sent you out with nothing. And there he was walking away. Get back here. That's the wrong verse. What about the ox that treads out the corn should not be muzzled? The labor's worthy of his wages. That's the one I wanted him to point to. He told me no. You know, the Spirit of God told him, if he give me a salary, he'll ruin me. And I'm so glad, because it forced me to learn faith for finances. But what I was saying is I didn't have a revelation, but I got in what precedes a revelation is the hearing of the word. So I started listening to faith for finances and prosperity, and my God's El Shaddai, my God's Jehovah Jireh, the provider. And then it just clicked one day. I just knew that I knew we're not going to struggle. Amen. It wasn't a head knowledge that, yeah, my God will meet all my... we're very good as Christians of going through the motions. But it's got to sink down from here into here. Because you've got to know the truth to be set free. A lot of people can quote the truth. It doesn't say if you can confess the truth. It doesn't say if you can quote the truth. If you can remember what pastor said about the truth. No, you got to know the truth for there to be a set free service. Praise God. And so you got to know it. You got to know it. You got to know it. Praise God. And so I got a revelation on it. It's the same thing with divine healing here. The word is enough to set you free from whatever you're going through. And don't let the devil tell you that what you're going through needs some high and mighty minister. Thank God for the anointing and thank God for these anointings. But, oh gosh, if Brother Hagin was online, he could handle my situation. No, the Word can handle your situation. Because when we realize, the Bible says in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word's enough because it's Him. It's Him. Hallelujah. Remember there over there in Psalms 107 verse 20, it says He sent His Word and healed them. This gives me hope, praise God. The one thing I love about the faith message in Christianity is everybody's on a level playing field. You can get as much or as little from God as you choose. It doesn't matter what your last name is. It doesn't matter what part of the world you grew up in. It doesn't matter what your life situation is. If you want God and you want what God has, you can go for it. Amen. That's what I like about it. It's fair. Amen. I used to hate being on baseball teams where I'd go 4-for-4 and make all the plays at shortstop and everybody else would stink and we'd lose 15-2. That's not fair. I grew up thinking, man, I wish I would have learned to be a golfer or I wish I would have learned to play tennis because they control their own destiny. As a Christian, you control your own destiny. You do. Praise God. I'm almost done here. So go with me real quick to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. Now remember I told you in John chapter 8 verse 31, let's see if anyone remembers, I said, don't forget these words. Does anybody remember what words they're not supposed to forget? I'll tell you, because I don't want to make you embarrassed. Jesus said, if you continue in my word. He said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He said, how are you going to get to a knowing? You're going to continue in the word. The knowing happens if there's a continuation in the word. It's not just a hearing at once. It kind of sounds like Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Sounds like Joshua 1:8. Night and day, night and day. Sounds like Psalms 1 verse 1 through 3. Meditate day and night. It's continuing in the word. A continuing in the Word leads to a knowledge or a revelation of the Word, which leads to being set free. Praise God. Proverbs 4 and verse 20 tells the same thing. My son, attend to my words. You know the word that the Bible says can heal you? You know the word that can set you free? You know the word that is God? Incline my ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Now look at this. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. I don't see anything in there about some anointing or gift of the Spirit or some high and mighty minister with a big TV ministry or a big healing ministry. All I see is if someone does the right thing with the word, it'll translate into healing. Amen. Amen. But look at what it says in verse 20. My son, attend to my words. A continuation in the Word. We all have 24 hours in a day. Of course, some of those hours, you know, you have to sleep. Yeah, you have to sleep, praise God. And some of those hours you have to work. Some of those hours you have to do other things. But there are times that we can have that we're attending to something. God knows we have to attend to sleep. He knows that we have to attend to jobs. But He said if we'll attend to the Word, it will, or continue in the Word, it will result in healing. Well, what do people attend to? I'm not trying to be mean here, but let's just be honest. Now again, this does not mean, we can't just get in a ditch and throw everything into one basket. It does not mean that everybody that's sick or going through a sickness is because they're not attending to the Word. They might be in the middle of the fire, standing their ground. Or they might not be. I've been in both. Where I was the problem, or the devil was just the problem, and the trial was the problem. Where I was doing everything right, and hell was still there. Or I was doing everything wrong, and hell was still there. We don't make those judgments on people. But what I am saying is that if there's an attending to the Word, it can turn out. So if you don't attend to the Word, it can hinder your healing from coming. But let's be honest, there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that are not living in complete divine health, that a lot of medications and diseases and things, that's not God's highest and best. We know that. That's okay to admit, isn't it? God wants you healed. That's good news. God wants you healed. Well, think about it. In our own lives, or in people that we know, what is done, what are we attending to the majority of time? Is it our hobbies, our recreation, television? You get a certain amount of time that needs to be set aside for attending to the Word. If there's a pie chart of your life and time, and you need healing, and there's just a teeny little sliver of it says so-and-so's attendance in life. Okay, their attendance, this amount of pie to work, this amount of pie to their hobbies, this amount of time to watching television, this amount of time to just doing whatever. And then this little sliver of time is attended to the Word. If you have bad attendance to the Word, it's going to show up in your body. Now, again, that doesn't mean that everyone that's sick is because they aren't in the Word or anything. No. Be a test and a trial, and this is your answer to get out of it. Amen. I remember a story that the Durants told. I'll never forget it. They went back in some anniversary type thing, and there was a woman that they had grown close with. They told me this at lunch one time. So I heard it right from their mouths. They had lunch with they went and took her out to lunch, and she'd worked there for years at Rhema in the bookstore, I don't know what to say, the tape and book production and all that. And they were talking, I don't know if she was getting ready to retire or what it was, or they just ran into her, but anyway, she worked for like 40-some years there. And she said, "You guys want to hear a good story?" I said, "Yeah, tell us, Sister so-and-so." And she's like, "You know, in all the years that I worked for Rhema, they wasted their money paying for insurance for me." And they thought, "Well, that's weird." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I never used it one time." I said, "Wait, what do you mean you never used it one time?" I said, "No. I've never been to the doctor one time in 40 years. That's not normal. It's not normal for me. Is it normal for you? Anybody in here gone 40 years without going to the doctor? I mean, it's just not normal." So that brother Kevin and Sister Annie, like, "What in the world? How is this possible?" "Well, how did," she said, "Proverbs 4:20 says if you attend to his word, it'll be life to your flesh." She said, "For 40 years, for 8 hours or so a day, I've been making Brother Hagin's books, putting his CDs together, putting his tapes together." She says, "All I do all day long is hear the word. 40 years, then," she said, "and I go to church faithfully, and when I'm home, I spend time with God." Amen. What does she do? She has good attendance to the Word, and it showed up in her flesh. Now, God knows we can't spend 8 hours a day around a Brother Hagin book or around Brother Hagin's teachings or listen to the archives. He knows that. But it's to show you that the Word's true. That if we could find more attendance time to it, it would show up in our bodies. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love when I ask people that are sick, "What are you meditating on? What book are you reading on healing? What sermon are you listening to? What are you standing on? What scriptures?" And they look at me like a deer in headlights. "Well, Pastor, I heard you say God's a healer. That ain't a revelation. You got to know it. Then you know the truth. Then the revelation comes. Hallelujah. F.F. Bosworth said this. If you ever have not read the book Christ the Healer, I think, in my opinion, I remember reading that the first time at Rhema, and I thought, my goodness, this book on healing, I read it all the time. It's the best book, I believe, on divine healing. I think I've heard Pastor Michael say the same thing. I don't know, he probably reads a lot more than me, but that's the best book I know on healing is Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. But this is what he said. Again, another person who was skilled in the area of healing, he said, instead of saying to somebody, pray for me, he said, we first should say to them, teach me God's word so I can intelligently cooperate with my recovery. That's what F.F. Bosworth said. Because most people say, oh, pray for me, pray for me. Well, it doesn't say that. We have it backwards because we think that God's just going to swoop in and just pray for it and God's going to do it. God's going to do it. That's not how it happens. Instead of saying, pray for me, we should first say, teach me God's word so I can intelligently cooperate with my recovery. So this is what I want to say to anybody here that's dealing. Well, you can take it to finances. You can take it to fear, worry, depression, anxiety, anything. Poverty, sickness, disease. It's time to find word on what you're going through. Amen. Right. If it's healing you need, you find a healing sermon. You find a healing book. You find healing scriptures. Like me, when it was finances, I found financial scriptures, financial sermons, financial books. And I fed and I fed and I fed and I fed. Night and day, night and day. Well, what did that translate into? Faith, revelation, knowledge, set free. Amen. In 2 years, never were late for one payment. Never were behind. Paid everything off on time, all the time, every single time. And not only that, was got $60,000 worth of debt in 2 years, being down $2,000 a month. I always say my salary, I had a big salary at this church. Had a lot of zeros in it. But that's the problem. It only had zeros. I needed another number in there to go with those zeros. I had a lot of zeros. That's usually good in someone's paycheck when there's a lot of zeros. But, you know, a lot of basketball players and football players, they got lots of zeros in their contract, but they got another number that goes with it, and it helps a little bit. And I never missed a bill, never missed a payment. I remember going through condemnation so bad that I was convinced I was going to take my life, that I was worthless and God was going to do anything with me. And I found a sermon by Pastor Nancy Dufresne on condemnation. I listened to it for 1,000 times in a year. 1,000 times. She'll tell you it's true. So much so I could quote the whole sermon, well, almost the whole sermon, with the exact inflection that her voice used, her exact way that her accent was, all the stuttering in the message. Why? I was attending to his word. I got a revelation about righteousness and that condemnation wasn't for me, and it set me free. Amen. So if you need healing, if you need finances, you need to be free from depression, you need to be free from anxiety, you're afraid you're going to be alone your whole life, you're, whatever it is, that you, whatever. Find a scripture, find a sermon, find a book, attend to it, continue in it, night and day. Bam, that'll cause a revelation to come. Faith will build up, and bam, you'll be broke free and set free. The word is enough for your situation. Every situation that any of you in here, do not let the devil lie to you and tell you, this is it for you. You're going to have it for the rest of your life. You're going to struggle because that's just not what God has said. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And if you start taking that thought, it will crush and squash the very faith that you need to get to the other side of your problem. Do not buy that thought. It's a lie from hell. It's a lie from hell that this is it for you, that it's over, that your life's never going to change. This is the way it's going to be because it's always been that way. Don't let the past and how long something's taken that hasn't manifested to tell you that's how your future is going to be determined. One revelation, set free. And don't you ever get the thought in your head, I've dealt with this at times, that God just must not care. God just must not care because it hasn't happened, because that's a lie from hell. He wants it so bad for you. But now we have groundwork. We have a template of how to get it for ourselves. He's not holding it back. And it's not to put us down and say we don't know anything or we're not pressing in. But I know when I meditate on this, I know I can do better. I know that I can attend more, that I can build my faith more. Amen. Amen. Because think of it this way. If, and we'll close with this, if faith is the currency of heaven, if that's true, and it is, when we go to the store, I know that when I go to the store to buy milk, I need a certain, you know, if you're just a cash person, I'm not, I'd only take credit cards, so that can just cover it all, but if you're just a cash person, that's currency. If you go to the store and you say, oh, I got to go to the store and get some milk, and you're a cash person, you're grabbing a certain amount out of the piggy bank. Yeah. But if you're going to the store to say, well, I'm going to the store to buy a lawnmower, you're not dipping in and grabbing the same amount of currency for the lawnmower than you are for the milk. You need more. It's a bigger, greater, more costly item. Well, when we're facing things that are impossible, no cure, you've been there for years, devil pressing on you, you have a call in your life, a plan of God for your life, and he's trying to keep you out, the price is higher. What am I saying? You need more faith. You need more faith. We know faith is measurable. I've taught on that before. There's great faith, there's little faith, there's small faith, there's all sorts of types of faith, but it's measurable. And if there are things that need to be acquired, and if heaven, faith is the currency, there's things in life, I'll just say it this way to you. If someone tells you you have an incurable disease versus you have a sprained toe, not belittling the person with a sprained toe, but it's going to take less faith, less opposition for the sprained toe, that nobody's telling you it's impossible, nobody's talking in your ear, and you're not reading things about how impossible that is. You just know, if actually I don't even need faith in time, it'll just heal. Whereas something that's, this is incurable, it's never going to be a change, this is what you have your whole life. You're going to have to take this medicine your whole life because that's just what you have. That's going to take more faith. You're not going to be able just to hear one healing service and say, oh, I got it, it's going to come. No, no, no. You need to keep building and building and building. Why? It's a bigger price. Does that make sense to anybody? It's not that you're having to buy it and earn it, but there's bigger things that need to be moved, heavier lifting. Heavier lifting requires more power and more might, more faith. Amen. So I want to be free. And it's worth it. Well, how much do I have to continue until you're free? Let's keep going. It'll come, because the Word always works. The Word always works. The Word always works. I love when Pastor Michael says that situations that he's gone through that have been hell on earth, that he won't even share publicly. He said the only thing that got him through that was by standing on the Word. Just when it looked like there was no hope, just keep standing on the Word. Amen. I could say it's true for me as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your help this evening. Lord, I pray for every hearer that is in this place, Lord, they would get a revelation of this. That, Father, that they would attend to your Word until there's breakthrough. If it's depression, if it's anxiety, if it's fear, if it's a poverty mentality, if they need money, if they're believing for a spouse and they're convinced that'll never happen, if they're believing for a baby and they're convinced, Lord, I don't know everybody's situations. If there's a sickness in their life, Father, that seems like it's not going anywhere. It's been told it's not going anywhere. It's been that way for a long time, a short time, whatever. I pray that everybody's eyes would be open to this, that the Word is enough. That's my point for tonight, is that the Word's enough. When Jesus wanted to perform healings and heal sickness and disease, he knew he had to do something first. He had to get the Word into people. Why? He knew the Word was the answer. The Word is the answer. So, Father, I just pray everybody get that revelation about the Word, that they would cling to the Word, that they would run to the Word, they would stand on the Word, they would feed on the Word and build themselves up in the Word until that revelation comes, until they know that they know, until they know that they know that what belongs to them, and then they just stand in that revelation until that manifestation shows up. Lord, we thank you for it tonight. Let's just praise him and glorify him. Lord, we thank you for healing tonight. Everybody say this, say, the Word is enough for me. The Word is enough for me. No matter what I'm facing, the Word is enough for me. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We worship you. Now, I know in this building there's nobody that needs to be born again, but if there's somebody listening by live stream, I never want to, you know, you just never know who could tune in or listen in the future that doesn't know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus and you don't know that you go to heaven, I want to tell you how to know Him and how to go to heaven. It's simple, it's easy. There's only two qualifications you need to go to heaven. Number one is found in John 3:16. You must believe in Jesus. The Bible says if you believe, you'll not perish but have everlasting life. That just means in your heart, you know that Jesus was real. You don't know everything. You can't explain everything. And maybe everything doesn't make sense in your mind. But in your heart of hearts, you can say, I know Jesus was real. I know He died. I know He rose again. That's believing. That's the first qualification. But there's another qualification. The devil has the first qualification. He knows Jesus is real. He believes in Jesus. But he won't receive Jesus. The Bible says we must call on the name of the Lord to be saved. It's not just believing in the Lord. It's receiving the Lord. He's standing at the door of your heart knocking. And so if you're listening right now or in the future, and you say, I don't know I'd go to heaven, but I want to go to heaven. I just didn't know it was so easy. I thought there was a whole laundry list of things or a bunch of religious hoops I had to jump through. No, you just got to believe and receive. That's all. So if you're listening and say, that's me. I want to believe. I want to receive. Just all you have to do is say, Lord, I believe in You. I believe You died and I believe You rose again. That's your confession of belief. And now you just need to invite Him in and say, Lord, I ask You to come into my heart. Please come into my heart. And He will. He wants to. That's why He's knocking. When someone knocks on the door, it's because they want to come in. So He wants to come in. And so if you'll pray that prayer, the Lord will accept you. He'll save you. You'll become a child of God. And we encourage you to send me an email, shoot me a text message, give me a phone call, whatever. Let us know that you prayed that prayer, that you asked Jesus into your heart. And we'll get you hooked up in a good Bible teaching church where you can start learning all that God has for you. Let's just glorify Him before we leave here tonight. I just want to make sure there's nothing more that we need to do. I don't sense anything on my heart, but you never know. Father, we love You tonight. We praise You and magnify You. We praise You and magnify You. We love You so much, Lord. We bless You tonight. We honor You and we praise You. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Hallelujah.